Amen. What a tremendous song. Love that song. It's my favorite hymn, I believe. I say I believe because there's a few others that I really like as well. And so I'm constantly, not that I sit around thinking through the week what my favorite song is, but I tell you what, there's a bunch of them that are so good. That are so good that any time of the day or the week that you just, you know what, the song comes to your heart and it'll lift you up. It'll be a blessing to you. It'll encourage you. Music has such a tremendous ability to do that. God gave us music, and He gave us good, godly music to put to good words that complement each other so well that it's so uplifting. You sing a song like Near, Still Near, and it's just like you feel like you're in the presence of God, Near, Still Near. And that's the way I feel when I sing it. I hope you feel that way as well. It's more than just feeling. It's a reality, folks. It's a reality. And the songs sing about a reality. And that's a blessing. We're singing about reality, not just some hope or wish. It's reality. Near, still near. And I'll tell you what, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. And so we endeavor to do that. Ruth chapter 3. If you would turn to Ruth, Ruth has been overflowing with nuggets of blessing. And we have found so many little things that we don't normally pick up on that have been a blessing. Anytime you go through the scriptures, you want to be careful to stay within the context and stay what's right, what it's saying. But I tell you what, the applications are bountiful and numerous for us. And so we get to see what God is saying to us. And you take what God says to you and apply it, do it. And but the passage means the same thing to everyone. And so we look at what the passage says. And so I invite you to look in Ruth chapter 3, and we're going to look at God's perspective tonight. We're going to jump right into it. Not a lot of background. I gave that to you again this morning, reminded you of the background. And so we're here. Ruth has presented herself to Boaz. Boaz has responded, "Yes, I will do it." And I want us to see what God is doing right now. Now, is God at work in Ruth's life? He is at work. Was there ever a time when God was not working? No, God was always at work. Is God always at work in our lives? Okay, so as we see God working in Ruth's life, you look and put yourself right there. God is working in your life. He has been. You know what? Your troubles and your struggles that you're going to have tomorrow don't catch God by surprise. God knows what you've gone through. He knows what you're going through, and He knows what you're going to go through. It's probably good that we don't know what we're going to go through, because maybe some of us would, you know, kind of like a scared puppy, you know, they stick their tail between their legs and they run off. You know what? I think that if some of us knew what we were going to face tomorrow, we might do the same thing. But God knows, and He doesn't give us those things. But I'll tell you what He does do is He gives us enough grace to make it through what He gives tomorrow, always. He never calls us to go through something that's too difficult to go through. And so He's going to provide the grace. He's going to provide the mercy. He's going to provide the means. And so we don't need to be afraid of tomorrow. In fact, we can look forward to it, because when we're weak, His grace is sufficient. And in our weakness, we are made strong. And so, and the power of Christ rests upon us. You know, we want that, don't we? I trust that you do. Certainly, Ruth has gone through some struggles. Naomi's gone through some struggles, and yet has God's grace been sufficient? It has, and we're going to see how He continues to be sufficient to Ruth tonight. Look at verse 15, chapter 3, verse 15 of Ruth. All right, so Boaz is going to speak, and he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. This morning we looked at the human perspective of how we need to be God's tools to meet needs. But I want you to see something here that is so tremendous. You know, this wasn't the big need, as we talked about this morning. Again, we've already looked at this. You're already introduced to it. You've already maybe thought through a little bit about it this morning. But this wasn't the big need in this story. The big need for Ruth was a husband. And how Elimelech and his family is going to continue on, and the name is going to go forward, and they're going to have children, and of course David is going to come through the line, and then of course Jesus Christ is going to come through this royal line, and bringing about, of course, the Savior to mankind, the Savior of the world. and which I trust that each one of us has this evening. And so that's the big thing in Ruth that we see God doing. But yet God has shown up in so many small ways, you know, allowing this struggle in Elimelech's family. And yet even through a mistake, God shows up and finds wives for these boys. Good wives. This one wife especially that's going to stick through with him and become, you know, that wife to Boaz. God has been there for Naomi through the thick and the thin, providing people, providing a field that the scriptures say she just happened to be at. And we know that it wasn't just happenstance that she was there. God put her there. And God puts us where we need to be also. And he puts people in our paths to teach us lessons, to let us go through things. And God has put the people in your life, and he's put the people in my life, and maybe he's going to put you in somebody else's life. You know what? God is working in our lives so that we can go and help somebody else. You say, Pastor, I don't know why God has put me through this trial and through this struggle. And I can't tell you all the reasons why, but I do know one thing. God is preparing you to minister to somebody else that's going to go through that struggle. And we can be blessed and assured through that. God is so good. God is helping us. And God's working in Ruth's life here. It wasn't the big need in the story, yet it was certainly a need. You know what? Ruth is going to go home to Naomi, and they still need food. That's the whole reason why she was introduced to Boaz in the first place, is because she needed food. And God certainly had not forgotten about that. And so the big need, of course, the husband. But listen to this. God, in our big needs, you know, if I were to go around the room tonight, I would ask you, what's your biggest need? You know, some of you might struggle and say, well, we've got this need, my family or I, and we have this, or we've got this going on. But probably many of you would be able to point to one big thing, at least right now, that you're really, maybe you're looking for victory. Maybe you're looking for deliverance of something. Maybe you're looking for something. You're praying for something in your life right now. But probably a lot of us could come up with at least one big thing, maybe a few big things. But there's big things in our lives that we're praying for. Yet I ask the question, as we've already looked at a little bit this morning, isn't it true, though, that along with all those big needs, there's lots of little needs that come through every day that we need? And we get caught up in the big needs. I've got some big needs right now. You know, big prayer requests. Those things that are really on your heart. They're one of the first things that are on your mind when you wake up in the morning, and they're on your mind and heart right before you go to bed, and probably 24 hours through the day that you're thinking through and you're dreaming about. You're just wondering how God's going to answer. And of course, a couple of Wednesday nights ago, we were reminded through the scriptures that we need to do what? Keep knocking, keep asking, keep praying. Do you realize God is honored when we do that? God loves when we keep coming to him. Daddy, Daddy, Abba, Father, I need you, I need you. I'll tell you what. Any good father loves a son that continually comes, Daddy, I need you, I need your help. You know, the son that says, I don't need you, I can do this on my own. Oh, but the son that comes and the daughter that comes and says, I need your help, I need your help. Tell you what, I'm happy to do that. I want to help you. Our Father is the same way. He wants us to come to him. You know, we go to God sometimes and there's some silence. And sometimes God is just waiting for us to keep asking and to see if we're going to trust in him. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, trusting in him. Because you see, it's not in our hands. It's not in our hands. All right, so Ruth needs a husband. And to tell you the truth, that's not in her hands either. You know what? God is the one that provided that husband for Ruth. God is the one that provided that field. God has provided the one, you know, those workers and the gleaners and all that. He provided everything that Ruth got with Boaz. He is about to get in the middle of this situation with a nearer kinsman. And God does a miracle there. We could go on to the rest of the chapter, you know, through the rest. We don't have a whole lot. We got chapter 4 left. But God is there. But you know, God is there with those big things, but God doesn't forget about the little things. But you know, it's not us. It's not us. Right now, there's big things in your life You know what? Behind every one of those big things that you have and that you're praying for, you know, some of it's a very physical thing. You're praying because you just, you know, had a test and you're waiting for the results. For some of you, you've got the results and the results weren't so good. For some of you, you're right in the middle of a crisis at home, and you've got a husband, or you've got a wife, or you've got children that are not walking with the Lord. You're praying for that grandson. You're praying for that situation, and you're praying for that friend to come back. You're praying for God to supply this financial need that you don't, it looks impossible to happen. And you're looking for the ministry in this church to go forward and for visitors to come. And I could just, you know, go around, and as I look at you, I don't know all of your requests, but I could look and I could think of things, you know, that you're working through and you're going through. My friend, I want you to know something, that God has not forgotten. He's got it in His hands. He's got it in His hands. Along with this passage, I want us to look at another key passage that you probably know and very familiar with. It's in the book of Philippians. So keep your fingers right here, and I want you to turn to the book of Philippians in chapter 4. And there are some good verses in Philippians, and certainly in chapter 4. Probably a verse that you all know, because a lot of people love to claim this verse. Okay? And you know what? There's nothing wrong with claiming it. In fact, there's everything right with claiming it, as long as we understand the context of it. You see, Paul was writing to a group of people that had given so much. And you know, God has made a promise in the Scriptures. When we give, what will He do? He'll meet our needs. But God wants us to be givers, though. And God has promised that as we supply for His, I say His need, you know what I mean. God doesn't have needs of Himself, but in His ministry, there's needs. As we give, like just like those Philippians, God has promised to, verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, does this passage say that God is going to provide some and you're going to provide some and we're going to be in a good fellowship working situation, that we're going to work together as teamwork? You provide some of your needs and I'm going to provide some of your needs and we're going to be good friends together. Is that what it says? No, but my God shall supply all your needs. Listen, any supply of your need comes from God. It wasn't you. It wasn't even your maneuvering. Have you ever done something that you've maneuvered and you've tried to get certain things and God answered and gave it to us and you feel discouraged? I've done it before and I'm like, why did I do that? I shouldn't have said anything. I should have been like George Mueller and said nothing. You know what? We might ought to take lessons from George Mueller and say nothing, but I'll tell you what, even if you opened your mouth and did it and God gave it, God still did it. Because God is the one that supplies everything. My God shall supply. The source of good is God. And when God does it, we ought not get discouraged about ourselves. Maybe there's a lesson to learn, but we ought to thank God for it. God, thank you. Because I'll tell you what, God can go around our maneuvering and He doesn't have to do what He does. And He does it anyway. Why? Because God is good. God is good. It's in His nature. It's His character. It defines His name. God is good. But I want you to see, as we look at this Philippians 4:19, as we look at Ruth 3:15, you see the situation in your life is not in your hands. It's not in your hands. Look at Psalm 127 verses 1 and 2. This passage was an encouragement to me. Of course, as a pastor, I'm praying for a church, praying for a Sunday school, praying for visitors, praying for people, praying for God to do His work in this place. It's easy as a pastor to try to do things in my own strength, to try to take things into my hands, and we need to do this. And there's always the balance of trusting the Lord and waiting and patiently letting Him do the work and then going and moving forward in faith. And acting, because I'll tell you what, the people of faith in Hebrews were people of action, and they did things. They didn't just sit back and say, I'm not going to do anything. God, just do it. Dump it on me. I don't know about you, but that's a hard balance for me. How do I know how much to do? Because I think God blessed those people in Hebrews 11 when they stepped forward and they put their foot out to cross over the Jordan River, the Red Sea. Did He not? They had to take the step, but God did the work. That's hard for me to understand. It's hard for me to understand the balance. And to draw a conclusion, I think God wants us to take the step, but my friends, he's going to do it. Now, those priests could have taken that step, but you know what? They could have stepped right into the water. They took the step, and God dried up the water. He brought the land. He dried up that land, and they could go across that river. Psalm 127 is just a blessing, and as I read it, what some good words. Accept the Lord, Jehovah. Build the house. Accept. Accept God does it. What is the response? They labor in vain that build it. Ah. My friends, it's God. We can try all we want to, and it's vanity, but you know what? God does it. And when God does something, we've got to thank him for it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, or guard. That word keep is guard, protect. You know what? We can sit up all night and watch. The watchman waketh, but in vain. I'm not suggesting that we take the locks off our doors and go to bed and not protect ourselves. But I want to tell you something. You know that God can protect you with or without a lock? Some people get scared to death of flying on an airplane. But I'll tell you what, your chances of harm are about the same as on the ground. Because guess what? God is God in the air and he's God on the ground as well. There's really no situations that we get in that God is still not God. God is good. So the watchman waketh in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now again, it doesn't mean that we don't work. God wants us to step out in faith. But the faith is not in our step or our work. The faith is in God. So God does want us to actively move. God wants us to step. God wants us to, as we search the Word of God, God wants us to continue to try to go forward the next step with our church. But I'll tell you what, brothers, if we do it without God, it will be vain. It will be vanity, and God's not going to bless. It's His work. It's His building. It's His job. Does God care about this church? Does God care about your crisis? Yes, because it's His work. Because He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. You see, you are His work. And He is the one in control. He is the one. He is going to see to it. Oh, there's so much more for us to see in this passage. You see, it's not in your hands. It wasn't in Ruth's hands to get a husband, and it wasn't in Ruth's hands even to provide the food. She's thinking about this big thing, and praise the Lord that we have Boaz that's thinking about the little things. Like we talked about this morning, Boaz is thinking, all right, I'm going to put to work tomorrow, and I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to this near kinsman and I'm going to do all this, but I still know that Ruth and Naomi need food tonight. And brothers and sisters, it really wasn't Boaz. You know who put it on Boaz's mind to even remember this little thing? God. How do we know that it was God? Pastor, how do we know it was God? He didn't say it was God. Where, according to James, does every good and perfect gift come from? God, the Father of lights. Remember that. It's God. God is good. It's not in your hands, but I want you to see it is in His hands. It is in His hands. But my God shall. That word shall is not a maybe word. It's not a questionable word. It's shall. He will do it. But my God will. He shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Go to Philippians again, Second Corinthians, excuse me. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You say, all of my needs. Nobody even knows about this need, Pastor. It's so little, or it's this. You know what I would say, again, in reference to a husband and a lineage, and David and Jesus, that tomorrow's provisions of food, of barley, is pretty insignificant. Yet God cares about the little things. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. Listen to the words. I'm going to read it slowly. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Remember, what's grace? Something that you don't deserve. You see, it has nothing to do with whether you deserve it or not. God's going to give you what he wants to. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Did you catch how many words were that all and every? And there was a lot of them. Let's count. God is able to make all, there's one, toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency, three, in all things may abound to every good work. There's five already in one verse. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth, I would even say, forever. Six. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. You know what? At least eight times, depending on how we look at these words, God is telling what? It is in my hands. And I've got you in mind. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you ever thought that God forgot you? Have you ever been tempted to feel like, God, it doesn't seem like you're listening. God, it doesn't seem like you're there. I've been going and there's a time of silence. What is going on, God? It's in his hands. I want so bad to give the final application yet, but we're not ready for it. Go to Ruth, back to chapter 3. Let's look at verses 17 and 18. So Ruth goes home. She goes to Naomi. Look. Okay, what did Naomi send Ruth for? Husband, right? Okay. I mean, Naomi needs food, but she sends her out for husband. She comes back. These six measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Let's just look at that verse first, just a moment. So we see God meets the need. God meets the... He's at work with the big need. And along with the big need, he's making sure that all the little needs are met. And again, before we go to this final conclusion, I want you to understand, folks, it doesn't matter what is going on. Even if you're not thinking about it, do you realize that you don't even need to be thinking about it and God's still going to meet your needs? Sometimes we don't even understand all of our needs. And yet God is at work to meet every one of those little needs. He's going to do it. And I don't know if Ruth was thinking about food. I don't know if Naomi was thinking about food. And I don't know if Boaz was thinking about food. But God was. God knows. And you know what? You might go home and you know your family needs clothes. Your family needs groceries. Your family needs answers. Your family needs breakthroughs. Your family and your situations needs this. Your job needs this and everything. And you know what? Honestly, with all the needs we have, we couldn't count them all up tonight. But there's not one thing that God is at rest with every one of those things. Every one of those things, God has it in mind. He's thinking of it right now. He's thinking of it right now. I want you to see the response. Before I read it, I don't know if it'll mean as much to you as it did to me. I hope it does. I want you to think about this story. Everybody looking up here, listen to this. We have a story. Ruth. We have just a few characters, main characters. Yes, we have Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion. We have some outside characters, but the main characters, and of course God is there, but we have who? Ruth. We have Naomi and Boaz. Then of course we have all these peripherals. We have this near kinsman, right? Boaz. In this story, we have Boaz, who is a picture of someone else. Boaz is considered a kinsman. He's a kinsman redeemer. He's there, and in the culture, that near kinsman, when that father, that husband, or whoever died, and there was land, there were possessions, there was a person, that though that near kinsman had that right to then, or had that responsibility almost to buy them back and to take them for himself so that they'd be protected. Boaz is going to play that part, but there's a near kinsman, which we're going to look at in the next few weeks. Boaz is going to go and approach him and go through a process, and they go through that. And of course, he's going to defer and give it back to Boaz. Boaz is going to end up with Ruth and all that comes with. Boaz is a picture of Jesus Christ for us, who gives himself to buy us back. What a tremendous story. Now, as you think about this, I want you to understand as we read this verse, this next verse, because we have the one Ruth who was there. She didn't have much. She lost everything. And then she comes back, and kind of like Ruth and Naomi at the same time, we have these two ladies that lose, kind of. They're really going to gain so much. But they're neglected in their minds, or at least Naomi's mind, for a little. They think that they don't have much, and yet God is going to come and pull them out of the barley field and put them in his presence. And it's a picture to us what the Father does for us. Now, in context with what we're learning here and what you're going through in life, in your big needs and your little needs, I want us to read verse 18 and see the significance. Now, let's keep it within context. We're talking about Naomi and Ruth and the need for the husband and, of course, the food provided. But remembering the picture that's given to us here for us and God the Father and us needy individuals. What does he say? Then said she. Who's she? Naomi. To Ruth. Sit. I'm going to have a hard time going through this because this meant a lot to me this week. Sit still, my daughter. Stop. What do the words sit still mean? Think about it. Sit still. What does that mean? It's not in your hands, Ruth, and it's not in mine. And it's going to look like it's in Boaz's hands. But it's not. But she starts off, how could something good, Naomi, the bitter one, preaching a good message here, sit still, my daughter. See, it's not in your hands. And God knows what you need. God knows what you need. Sit still. Sometimes we've got to feel like it's not happening. I've got to go and do it, and I've got to say this, and I've got to do this. Sit still, my daughter. Sit still. You've got a God. It's not in your hands. It's not in my hands. It's not in His hands. It's in His hands. But take note. Sit still, my daughter. Until thou know how the matter will fall. Did Ruth and Naomi know exactly what would happen with this? I don't think so. Naomi says, we don't know. Wait to find out. You know what? Sometimes we go through our struggles in our lives and we don't know the answer. God does not give us the whole picture. I don't know how God's going to provide. I don't know where it's going to come from. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know. And we don't know. And again, we know what's going to happen. Naomi and Ruth really didn't know. Could have, from their perspective, could have this near kinsman agreed and said yes, from their perspective. Yes. They didn't know all what God had. We have the scriptures. We can look. We know what's going to come. So we're already prepared for what's going to happen. We know that God was going to use Ruth through and her line. We know that. We know that because we see it. But Ruth and Naomi did not know. As much as you think they might have, no, they were humans just like us, and they didn't know. And the near kinsman could have agreed. And I'll tell you what, if the near kinsman would have agreed, God would have had a plan that way. But it wasn't God's plan. You see, they don't know. And again, Naomi says, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. In other words, Naomi is saying, it could fall this way, and it could fall this way. Sound familiar? You're in your life and you don't know what God's going to do. The test might come back positive. See, God did not say that it would only come back negative. It could go either way. But either way, God is still in control. Sit still, my daughter. Sit still, my son. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. We don't know what will happen. Listen to this. We're talking about Boaz here, but don't forget the picture. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. You know what God is saying here? He's got your husband and your breakfast in great mind. And he doesn't rest for any of those things. He will supply. And it doesn't matter how big or how little it is. He, right now, is actively at work for that very thing that so many times we take for granted. So no matter what you're going through, physical, financial, spiritual, emotional, social, it doesn't matter. God is working on it right now, and He won't rest until He performs that duty. Brothers and sisters, you've not been forgotten. Big situations, little. And I walk around this building sometimes, and I feel like God's forgotten, and I say, God, do you remember? Boaz had given Ruth his promise. He would work on the matter. He would do his best to perform the responsibility of the kinsman redeemer. What has God promised to you? And it would be good for us to go through God's promises. And as we go through them, remember that what God gave to me, even though it seems like He's forgotten, He will do it. And He is at work. You remember Abraham? 25 years of waiting. And yet God gave him a promise. And did God fulfill it? He did. And that 25 years must have been an eternity. But you know that after that, Abraham lived another 75 years, and my guess is that afterwards, those 25 years seem like that. Sometimes we pray and we wait, and it seems like an eternity, and it seems like God is silent. But I believe that God is looking for us to trust Him at what He's already promised that He would do. Sit still, my daughter. Sit still. Because I will not rest until I will perform it this day. So good, folks. What an assurance for Ruth. Honestly, Ruth is there. She goes home and she said, what is going on in my life? I just did this crazy thing and I, you know, exposed the feet of this man, this wealthy man that could be my father. And I basically asked him to be my husband. And he gives me this and now I'm home here. And Naomi says, hey, you don't have anything to worry about. God's going to do His work. Boaz is going to do His work. God is going to do His work, people, no matter what you're going through. The things that you're thinking of and the things you're not thinking of, God will provide. You know what we can do with that? Rest and sit still. And trust in Him. We don't have to worry about it. God's going to take care. God's going to take care. I was talking to a friend this week and was telling him some things that I was going through. And he heard me say what I said about my situations, and he said, and he started to talk about an illustration. He said, you know, Sean, as parents, we'd raise our children and we want them to take what we say one time. We train them to take one time to tell them, you know, we want them to be able to tell them, okay, go clean your room, and we want to tell them once, and we want them to then take it and do it. And we expect them, you know, we don't want to have to tell them over and over and over again. One time should be. We don't, the scriptures tell us we don't have to promise. You know, sometimes kids say, you know, they say something, then they say, I promise, or I double promise, I triple promise. You know what? God says you don't need to sit there and say, I promise. What you say is what you ought to mean, right? So if God says it once, is it good enough? So what has God promised you? And I'm with the rest of you. Sometimes God promises things, and I walk around. You know, God is so loud some days, and then He's so quiet the next day. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And I say, God, where are you? But I want to tell you something. He is at work.
in your situation. God, I thank you so much. God, I thank you so much. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. We don't have to take things into our hands and say, well, it's getting too late. We need to do something. Yes, we need to step out by faith and do what you call us to do. But Lord, we've got to trust you. We've got to trust you. What a tremendous statement that Naomi makes about Boaz. What a tremendous statement that we can be assured in for us. You're not going to rest until you perform it. God, thank you. And Lord, from day to day, tomorrow when you're silent, then the next day, and the next month, and the next year, when you're silent and it seems like you've gone and we start to question, did you say that? Did you do it? Did I interpret it wrong? Am I all messed up? Are you... May we remember the promise. God, you said this. I'm trusting in you. I give it to you, God. It's yours. Be still, my daughter. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray.